Family. Well, God bless you. What a privilege it is to stand before you. People that love God and want to do His will. You know, what else is there to do in life? God created life. He's the one, right? So to find out what He's all about and to live what He has given us to live, the lifestyle of the more abundant life, is quite a privilege, an honor. And this morning, I want to do something a little different as far as teaching. I want to share with you about our ministry, Acts Now Fellowship, and how we function, and the resources we have within our ministry to grow and to reach out with the Word of Life. So we've got some scriptures here we'll have on the screen for you to look at as we look at the four different areas or functions within our ministry here. And, of course, our theme with Acts Now Fellowship is living the book of Acts today. Living the book of Acts today. Now, if you've ever peeked in the book of Acts or read through it, you know some great, mighty things occurred, didn't it? Day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church occurred. God gave all that He is, Holy Spirit. And with that Spirit came manifestations, abilities to do signs, wonders, and miracles to heal people. People were so excited, so turned on, seeing God work, people getting healed right and left, that Peter's Kleenex healed people. Pretty wild. But I'm thankful that today, why not? Same God, same Spirit. Why not us here have the opportunity to reach out to other people? So, you know, we've been functioning as an organization for quite a while, and I thought it would be time to take a look at these aspects of our ministry. First off, we're a research ministry, okay? And there's four aspects of our ministry I want to look at: research, teaching, fellowship, and outreach. Okay? So first, research. Jesus encouraged His followers to search the Scriptures, didn't He? John 5:39. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. So where are you going to find out about the eternal life? The Scriptures, God's Word. God's Word is everything, because it's His will. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, doing what? Yes, rightly, because there's a lot of wrong ways to divide God's Word. But our goal is to rightly divide that Word of God. So, first and foremost, we need to search the Scriptures, really get into the Word of God, and make sure that we've got the God-breathed Word. You know, there's some 40 writers that God inspired to write the Word of God, and they didn't get a chance to get together and say, hey, we better make sure this all fits, you know? No. They did what God asked them to do. They wrote what God told them to write. And now when you take that work done by many other people, put it together, it's seamless. It fits like a hand in a glove. That's God's Word. That's God's working. So that's why it's important for us to work the Word of God. Now, obviously, this Word came some 2,000 years ago, and even later on with the Old Testament. So many translations, many versions, and so we need to work that and make sure we get the God-breathed Word. So that's the research aspect of our ministry. And Proverbs, take a look at Proverbs chapter 2. It says, yes, if thou cry, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear or the reverence of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So when we really go to the Word, we need to search it out, really dig in there. Not just be a passive, oh, I think I'll go to Sunday school and learn a little Bible today. No, we really dig the Word. We search it as hid treasures, okay? We've got to be pirates for the Word. That's what pirates do, right? They search for those treasures. Well, another aspect of our ministry is a teaching to hold forth the words of life, to make it available, to expound the Scriptures so that people can see the eternal life that's available for them in God's Word. In Acts 5:42, it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach," what? Jesus Christ. And they did this every Sunday, right? Every Sunday, every Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Every day, didn't they? Daily in the temple, in every house. It was a lifestyle of sharing the Word, opening up the Scriptures so that people can see the words of life. You know, when I think about holding forth the Word of God, Philippians comes to mind, doesn't it? Philippians 2:16. Holding forth the Word of life, holding forth the Word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. When Christ comes back and eternal life really clicks in, what's going to count? What really counts in our lives? This verse talks about holding forth the words of life, so I don't run in vain, so that my labor, what I do today, is worthy before our Heavenly Father. And that's holding forth the words of life. That's what we're dealing with. You and I have an awesome privilege, don't we? To hold forth the words of life. Awesome privilege. Well, the third aspect of our ministry is fellowship. And I see that two ways. Our fellowship with the Heavenly Father, first and foremost, and our fellowship one with another. We've been called to a body, right? The one body of Christ. So we just don't isolate ourselves, but we get together in fellowship one with another. And most importantly, again, having that intimate relationship with the Heavenly Father. That's what really counts, is to know our Father. Now, I know many of us might not have had a good experience with our natural father. I don't know. I had a great experience. My dad was wonderful, very loving, caring, very thankful for my dad. And, you know, the more I got to know him and what he did, amazing, amazing. All right, my dad served in World War II. Of course, I wasn't born then, but my brother was born. My dad wasn't there to see that. In fact, he did not see his son, my brother, for 2.5 years. You know, he was over in the Pacific fighting. So the more I find out about my father, the more appreciative I am of him. And what about our Heavenly Father? Yeah, I want to know everything about him I can know. Because he has given me eternal life. He has given me something worthy. Pretty simple, isn't it? But it's real. This is reality. Don't watch the TV shows, the reality TV shows. That is a bunch of bunk. What we're doing today and talking about, that's reality. This is what really counts, for sure. Let's take a look at a couple scriptures here. 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Fantastic. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 through 12. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her child. And that's the King James we're looking at, translation. But really what it's talking about there is a nursing mother. A nursing mother. You know, gentle. How gentle is a nursing mother with his child? So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Boy, what a heart of the family, huh? For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you, any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God, the good news. You are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Pretty neat. So that's the fellowship we have. You know, in our ministry, we want to nurture that. We want to help people see the greatness of their fellowship with the Heavenly Father and with one another, to help each other. Well, the fourth aspect of our ministry is outreach. Outreach. Man, we just can't sit on this Word of God, right? It's just too hot. It's just burning in us. You know, Anthony Sakwa in Kenya, that's what he talks about, being on fire for the Lord, igniting areas, going out to the areas and moving the Word. You know, he's asked us to pray for him and other ministers that are going into Uganda here. They're going in pretty soon for a week. And he says, we really need your prayers. We're going into a troubled area. So think about him in the next week or two, if you would, and pray for the work they're doing. But he wants to put them on fire. He wants to ignite the souls of people to see the truth of God's word. Pretty neat. Well, look at Acts chapter 26. This is a reflection of Paul sharing his experience. What happened to him when he got born again? He's on the road to Damascus from Jerusalem. He's going to grab some Christians and throw them in jail. That was his thing, right, at one time? But Jesus Christ appeared to him and gave him a commission. And here it was, Acts 26, 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified or set apart by faith or believing that is in me. To open their eyes. That's our privilege. We've been called to do this. We have a ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He's given us that word to reconcile man back to God. Now then, we are ambassadors. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Let's do it. Let's do it. Pretty neat, huh? And finally, Acts 5. Acts 5, 19 and 20. But the angel of the Lord, and this is, they were in prison, okay? Peter and some of the guys, they were in prison for speaking the word. So God sends an angel. It says, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand, speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. That's what got them in the jail in the first place. But that was the calling. Go, stand, and speak. That's the privilege we have, to represent our Heavenly Father as His children, to go, stand, speak the words of life. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning, a little bit about our ministry and how it functions and what we're looking to do within the ministry. And I trust that you see this and will be involved, participate as God's called you. All right? So God bless you. And now Barney's going to come forward. Wow.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right, we're going to be taking our Bibles if you have one with you. If not, look on your phone. If you don't have a phone, just listen. We're going to be going to the gospel of, well, actually the church epistle of Ephesians, chapter 1. And I want to handle just pretty much one verse in here this morning, but in the context of a couple of other verses. It's a great prayer in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And I think this is God's heart for us, too. And so what I've entitled this is Spiritual Wisdom and Revelation. God wants to reveal himself to us. But we have to be willing subjects. We have to put ourselves in a place to be able to receive from God and engage in the relationship. And, you know, as well as this is Paul's prayer, God working through Paul to have this written, I think this is our prayer too, for one another, for the leadership to the body of Christ, for each individual member within the body. It's a really important scripture to understand so that we receive exactly what is needed in any given moment. So I'd like to read Ephesians 1, 17 through 20. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. You could take each one of those verses and teach pretty extensively, but the one I really want to focus on this morning here for just a few moments is verse 17. That says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. For you Greek scholars, the word wisdom is in the Greek is Sophias. And for those of you, maybe you know someone by the name of Sophie. There's one that lives in this local area. That word means wisdom. And it's used to describe insight, or wisdom that is not naturally attained. In other words, this is not natural human wisdom. This is insight that is revealed to an individual from a source outside of themselves. There's a lot of rational thinking, a lot of reasoning, logic, and this sort of thing in the world where you draw conclusions from facts and analysis of data. But this is wisdom that's acquired from outside of those type of resources. Probably one of the reasons that scientists have a very difficult time acknowledging God, because you can't analyze the details of spiritual qualities. And therefore, in the science world, many people are maybe agnostic, if not just full-on atheists, because there's no scientific reasoning to spiritual matters. The word revelation in this particular verse is the from the word apocalypsis. Maybe you've heard the word apocalypse, referring to the end times, maybe the end of the world, the revealing of God. But it does refer to something that has been veiled or hidden for a long time, and then suddenly, almost instantaneously, it becomes very visible and clear to your mind's eye. Have you ever heard, or maybe you yourself have been in this situation where you've read a verse or heard something hundreds of times, and eventually it's like the light bulb goes off. It's like, what? I never saw that before. Or it's just, that's revelation. It's a revealing. It's an opening of a veil, sort of figuratively speaking, that's in your mind that all of a sudden is opened. And so this becomes the prayer. So it refers to that thing that's been veiled or hidden for a long time, and then suddenly, almost instantaneously, becomes clear and visible. It's like the pulling the curtains out of the way so that you can see what has always been just outside of your window. You know, these windows and these curtains and sunscreens are all pulled. You know, if we walked over there right now and opened those and pulled up, you'd get a whole different perspective, wouldn't you? We actually close them so you don't get that perspective. Kind of helps keep you focused, right? But the scene that we're referring to here was always there for you to enjoy. But the curtains, those veils, those things in our minds blocked our ability to really see the real picture. But when the curtains are drawn apart, you can suddenly see what's been hidden from view. The moment you see beyond the curtain for the first time and you observe what has been there all along but wasn't evident to you, that's what the Bible calls revelation, that you see it. Now we apply the truth, the meaning of the word, to the realm of spiritual truths. The truths that we now grasp and enjoy were always there in the realm of the Spirit, but many of them were veiled. They were hidden to us. And it wasn't maybe the time for these truths to be revealed, so they remain obscured from our sight, even though they were always there. But once the right time came, and God removed through the work of Jesus Christ the veil that obstructed our view, our minds instantly saw and understood. And when this occurred, you and I had a revelation. And maybe that hasn't occurred for you yet. Well, hang in there, because it will. You know, when Jesus died, it says the veil was rent in two, gave people access right to the Holy of Holies, right to the intimate presence of God. And, you know, there's a veil in our minds, too, many times. We're just blinded. Remember where it says, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that they should believe not? See, blinding. The curtains are not open. They're still closed. The work of Jesus Christ and the belief in God through the work of Jesus Christ opens the blinds so we can now have perspective. We can see more clearly. So, just for a meditative thought here, can you remember a time in your past when you suddenly saw something in the Bible you'd never seen before? Boy, I can. The truth that had been there all along, it wasn't like it changed just for you. But you know what? It had been hidden to your eyes. Then suddenly one day, as if someone pulled the covers off of that verse, it literally jumped off the pages right in front of you. You saw it. You understood it. You know what? You had a revelation. We talk about many times revelation coming always from, you know, God speaking and revealing and opening up things. You know, this Bible is all revelation. Because holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You see something from God's Word for the first time, that's revelation. That's as much revelation as God revealing it to you in the moment when you may need it. And that's revelation too. But the truth is, truths remain hidden until God chooses to reveal them to us. And this is certainly could be one of the reasons that Paul prayed for God to give the Ephesian church a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I think that's our prayer for one another too, is that we would see with spiritual eyes. We would walk and talk with spiritual words, that our lives would be one of encouragement and exhortation and development to live and walk in the steps of Jesus. It's a noble calling. And when all of life is said and done and we've walked our path in this life, maybe those will be some of the things that really will be the most important things that have happened. And it's a time of reflection, I think, for all of us to, you know, see what we believe and then what do we do with what we believe. And that one, each person will have to meditate upon themselves personally and then, you know, walk forward because of that. So isn't it interesting in verse 17 that says, "The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you." This word give, to give, is another phrase, word, says it's didomai, D-I-D-O-M-I, which means to hand something over completely to someone else. It could also be translated to impart, that this prayer is for God to hand over and to impart and to give over something completely. Obviously, the Ephesian church, which was the model church, still needed something. They needed spiritual wisdom and revelation. They needed wisdom beyond their own human understanding. That's what all Christians need. We can go through the motions, but boy, I tell you, when it comes down to it and the rubber meets the road, you need to be hearing from God about what to do in specific situations. You know, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus spoke to God and God spoke to him, and that's what Jesus did. So for us to cover the behavior of Jesus, what he did in a certain situation, that may be a good thing. But the real truth and simplicity of it is Jesus walked with God. That's the beauty of it. So for me to wear an armband that says, "But what did Jesus do?" Okay, well, Jesus walked with God and he received revelation from his Father and then he walked out upon it. So cool, man. And really kind of flows at cross purposes with a lot of the traditional Christian thinking, if you've heard any of it recently, which is just so confusing, that Jesus himself was God. And, I mean, try to put that logic together. He was the same but different. He dispersed and gave away his godly characteristics to come down to earth and be born as a human being. The logic of it astounds me. But we've been exposed to the truth and been able to logically discern that. And the thing is, I think in the days that we've come to learn is that we don't hold that up against people and now that's a thing to judge people on. See, if the opportunity arises, then you know what? We expound the scriptures. But we don't condemn people and curse people because they don't believe everything that we do in the first conversation we ever have with people. You know what I mean? We're assessing every doctrine they believe in. And then we'll pick out the ones they don't line up with what we know to be true. The Ephesian church, just like us, just like the San Diego church, they needed wisdom beyond their own understanding. And Paul asked God to give them what they needed, spiritual insight that's not normally and naturally attained. And then Paul clarified what he meant by adding the word revelation. One person has said that the verse could be better translated, "to give unto you a spirit of wisdom, even revelation." To see beyond what is naturally attained. And I think in the context of what Bob was sharing about, you know, the goals and aspects of our ministry, this is certainly sort of the icing on the cake. You know, those are the particulars of, you know, the vision and the goals and all this sort of thing. But what's the end result? That people would acquire the ability to really walk as spiritual men and women in this life. And be able to be effectually influence and change the lives of other people that they come in contact with. Amen. I mean, wow, that is really it. You know what? The vision of each one, reach one, has not changed. That is the most effective way to ever reach people there's ever been and there ever will be. Jesus all the time was working with one person. If you can reach one person in your lifetime, you've really accomplished a lot for God. But yet, you know, I mean, and I don't say this in a demeaning, judgmental way. There's many of us who have lived 30, 40, 50 years in the Word and never won one person to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it causes us to really reflect on how much we truly believe and have a heart to pass on what we have been so blessed to be exposed to. So something to think about, for sure. One translator looked at this verse and taking all these things that I've mentioned into consideration, put it this way, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you special insight. I'm talking about wisdom that is not naturally attained. This is the divine moment when the curtains are drawn back and you are supernaturally enabled to see what you could never see by yourself. Oh, I can see myself and yourselves praying to God for this supernatural awareness just to occur. You know, God had all the answers the Ephesian believers needed, and God has all the answers the Acts Now Fellowship Church has need of, and every church and every Christian around the world. God has all the answers. By themselves, by ourselves, we all never be smart enough to figure it all out. So you know what? Paul's prayer for them, which I think is also our prayer for each other, is to ask God to impart to them the wisdom they needed. And then Paul really clarified that this kind of wisdom would only come to them by revelation. So, you know, when you hear that thing and you say, gosh, you know, I just had this thought, and, you know, it's just amazing to me. You know, I don't even know where that... It's amazing how many Christians actually say that. I don't even know where that thought came from. Oh, really? You know, that was God in Christ working in you spiritually. You were receiving revelation, and maybe you didn't even know it. That happens so much because we've complicated it. You know, we want the Red Sea to part, you know? Still small voice, God just working within you, showing you things, giving you perspective. See, talk to people, you know, they're driving down the street, and it's like, something told me to move over to the right lane. Oh, really? Something? I mean, it was something really good that helped you and saved your life? Something? What do they call it, an Alcoholics Anonymous? A higher power? You know, believe in your higher power. Doesn't matter what it is. Just believe in it. That was God Almighty who was working in the Spirit of God within your life. Amen to that. Revelation is only something God can give. So, bottom line, if you need direction and guidance today, which I assume we all do, in one way or another, you know, so why not just take a moment, either at this moment or in a moment soon to follow after, and pray this prayer in Ephesians 1:17 for your own life. Ask God to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, because God has all the answers you need. I certainly do not. And they're not as far from you as you may think. In one moment, He can remove the veil and help you to clearly see all the things you need to understand. All you have to do is do a 1 3-letter word that starts with A. Ask. Ask. It's all we have to do. Ask. Paul's heart, so cool. Like Bob said, like a nursing mother. So he prays for his people to have spiritual wisdom and insight not naturally attained. I mean, that's the epitome that where people in your congregation, so to speak, are experiencing their own epiphanies. they're experiencing their own moments with God, you know. We can have a lot of moments together, but your life, your ability to excel really comes when you experience that those moments with God. See, and then our fellowship together is even that much more sweeter. See. So I pray this gives us a little bit more understanding to enjoy the quality of the fellowship that we've really been called to with these different aspects, you know, of the things that we do. So I thought maybe we could pray together here to kind of close things up. And I don't normally do this, but I have seen this, and I'd like to actually do two things. I want to pray, and then I want to give you a declaration or a confession that I think or hope will solidify some of these truths for you. So I'm going to I'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll talk about this confession just for a moment. Lord, we thank you for your great word, for the Spirit of God within us, and we thank you, Father, that you would allow us to have the insight and wisdom that are needed for these moments in our lives. There are so many things, Father, that we need to know, but we're just not capable to figure it all out by ourselves. So, Father, today we would ask that you would take away the veil that has somehow obscured our clear view, and that our eyes would be opened to exactly see what we do know. And that you would give, Father, each one of us a true and real revelation about our lives, about our situations, and about those things that I really need to know about right in this very moment. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Confessions are great. We're actually going to be stepping into a month or 6 weeks of teaching about the power of words and declarations and confession. And here's one that I came across my path. It says, I boldly declare that God gives me a spirit of wisdom and revelation regarding the truth I need in my life right now. God has all the answers I need, answers I will not find with my own natural reasoning. At the right moment, God will remove the veil of ignorance that has blinded my view and help me see clearly the things I need to understand. I boldly declare that God gives me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that I can more clearly see. All right, God bless you guys. Thank you for letting me share. And Bob, awesome job with teaching to all of you on Facebook. God bless your hearts, and thanks for joining in, and for those who will join in the weeks and months and years to come until Christ returns, we're just going to enjoy the best we can this life we've been called to. Amen? Okay, God bless you guys.